Morning, this is the Tech Band Meter. Is anybody else online yet?
Yeah, this is Student Advisor Michael.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Just want to make sure I had the right number this morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I hope so.
Hi, Colonel. Hi, Charlie. This is Michael Johnson.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm great. How about you?
Wonderful.
That's good.
We got
morning, Dr. Johnson.
Rain here in Anchorage. So, not a fun day. I'm glad I'm working from the house today, actually. You saved me trouble of commuting in the freezing rain.
Yeah, I'm actually in Anchorage, and so I walked over here to this office from my hotel, and it was a slippery walk.
It's pretty nasty, isn't it? Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So, because of the Bills and Rules Committee, she wants it. But by the 29th, we're fine. We're fine.
Good morning. Is anyone there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just wanted to give a few more seconds. The department get to see if Juno's on, and then the commissioner's on, and we can take a roll call.
Did you get power?
Hi, Mr. Carsey. Juno's on, as is the commissioner.
Okay, great. Yeah, it went off again. They're still trying to get power to the whole area. There's still people that have been out since, what, Wednesday? So. So, we have power. well, then I'll go ahead. It's 8:30, so we'll reconvene at 8:30 and call the meeting back to order. And if I could get roll call, please.
Okay, Member Gjallarhorn? Member Gjallarhorn? Dr. Hamilton? Dr. Hamilton? Second Vice Chair Harmon?
Yeah, present.
Member Hemshute?
Here.
First Vice Chair Hull?
Here.
Member Michael?
Here.
Member Thompson?
Here.
Lieutenant Colonel Van Meter?
Here.
Chair Fields?
Here. Like you got a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Next is the adoption of the agenda.
This is Sue Hall. I move to adopt the agenda with one change, that we add appointment of the student representative.
And this is Member Harmon. I'll second that motion. Do we have to state where, Sue?
I was going to leave that to the chair.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's been moved and seconded. And let's move the appointment of student representatives. We'll go ahead and do that. The first item, we'll move 8A to 8B, and the appointment of student rep to 8A. Any other discussion? Hearing no discussion, roll call, please.
Member Gallahorn? Dr. Hamilton? Second Vice Chair Harmon?
Yes.
Member Hinshute?
Yes.
First Vice Chair Hull?
Yes.
Member Michael?
Yes.
Member Thompson?
Yes.
Lieutenant Colonel Van Meter?
Yes.
Chair Field?
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote at this time? I'm hearing no changes.
And it passes.
Okay, thank you. For today's agenda, are there any potential conflicts of interest on any agenda items for board members? Okay, hearing no conflicts of interest. Item 3, board report to the legislature. Commissioner?
The board is being asked to approve its annual report to the legislature. And Aaron Hardin's going to take this one.
Okay.
Good morning. This is Aaron Hardin in Juneau, Information Officer with the department. Before you is your annual report to the legislature, and I just have a couple quick comments, and then I'll just open up to the board if you have any questions or edits that you'd like to see made to your report. The structure of the report is very similar to previous years. One thing that I'll point out on page 2 that I'd like to edit as it's still in draft form is right now it includes your mission, vision, and strategic priorities, and I think it would be appropriate to add these 3 commitments from the Alaska's Education Challenge to that section, so I'll leave that to the board to consider. The regulations and board actions section, this covers the actionable steps you have taken throughout this calendar year, so I'll make a note that the actions that you take during this December board meeting will be added to the report when you see it in January. The significant steps section changes from year to year. There's a couple new sections that I have added this year. The first one is the Alaska's Education Challenge section. The second one is the e-learning program. I thought that was very important to highlight. We've made significant steps in the last year with the number of users on the program, and so I would have Todd and Sam to add that section to the report. The last section that's been added is the performance review that was required by the legislature and work happened over this past calendar year, so I thought it was important to include a note about what actions the board and the department have taken in response to that performance review. The other comment I'll have is notice that NAEP results, the legislature asked that NAEP results be included every year. As you may know, the assessment is administered nationwide every other year. The most recent NAEP results we have at the department are the 2015 results, which is what has been included in the report. I checked with our NAEP coordinator here at the department, and we do not anticipate 2017 results until actually later this spring in 2018. So it's very likely that we will not include 2017 results in your report to the legislature. And then the last comment I'll note is that there are a number of items that are in blue text. And those are all hyperlinks so that anyone in the legislature or staff can click to learn more information. So with that, that's all the comments that I have, and I'll just open it up to the board if you have any questions or edits that you'd like to see made to your report. So thank you.
This is Member Hall. I'd like to see the commitments added, and I'm hoping other board members agree. I just think that fills out the whole Alaska Challenge work, and I think they're good ones, so thank you.
And this is Member Hall. I would, I agree with what Member Thompson just said.
This is Rebecca. I have a few questions. I agree with both Barbara and Sue on including the three commitments. Is this a time when I should, I don't know, ask questions and make suggestions about content, or is that something that I would do offline? I guess you want to hear from us, right?
Yes, I would like to hear from you now so I can make the changes in the interim to present you with a final at your January meeting. So absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'll just work from the back then. On the NAEP section, I'm just suggesting it might be helpful to people reading this to know why 2017 isn't in here, since it is December of 2017. I could see people thinking that maybe there should be results that are more current, but you know, like just an explanation. And then on the performance review section, that's page 11. There's a sentence that says, Deed concurred with the three significant areas in which the review team found the department to be deficient in accomplishing its mission. What are those three areas? Like the rest of that paragraph, is that explaining those three areas?
I'm just reading through the paragraph again. Member Hemshoot?
Sure.
I can go back and read through that section of the performance review. This text was pulled directly from, as I recall, the department's letter that accompanied the performance review report. So if that's not clear what the three areas are, I can certainly make that change what it is.
Yeah, it might be a pretty small point. Sure. Like if it came directly from some other text, then it's probably fine. On page 9 for the ESSA, so did the president sign in January 2016? Because I remember December 2015, maybe that's when it passed, and the president signed in January then. Again, a really small point, but
when it was signed. Okay.
I want to see that date.
Okay, pull that.
And then my last comment is on page 6 when we talk about peaks. I felt like it would round out that section more to point out this is our first assessment under the new standards. Am I wrong about that? I think this is because of the sale of the AMP, but this is the first time we've assessed, and I think it's important to mention that, and maybe that the new standards are considered far more rigorous. I just felt like that wasn't emphasized in this section.
The AMP assessment previously assessed our new content standards.
Okay, so this is not the first time it's
members. And we did have results in 2015 from that assessment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm happy. Thanks.
Thank you, Member Hemshoot. Are there any other comments or questions or edits board members would like to see made to their report?
Yeah, Member Harmon. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Member Harmon. I had two things. First, I think you, Aaron, said that you will be addressing it. So I know we're going to be addressing the student advisor position today, just to make sure that that's reflected under the new officers, members, and staff section. And likewise, under that section, and I don't know if we've done it before, but I think it's something that I would like to see go to the legislature. I know that annually we do a review of the commissioner, which we did in the executive session a couple of months ago. And then when we came out of that, the public comment that we commented when we came out of that is it's really a strong endorsement of the commissioner and the direction he was taking the department. And I was hoping maybe we could reflect, again, that public sentiment from the board somewhere in the report to the extent the other board members feel it's appropriate.
This is Sue. Again, I'd like to second that motion. I think that would be an important thing to include in the report. Thanks for noticing it, John.
Thank you, Member Harmon. This is Erin. Yes, I will certainly add the actions that are taken at the December meeting, which would include a note about the new student selection. Typically, what we have included are actions that have happened at the board meeting, but if the board feels strongly that the comments made from the public about the commissioner that were made as part of the public part of the meeting, I can certainly go back and listen to that meeting recording and add that to the report.
Great. Thank you.
This is Chair Fields. Board Member Hamilton, are you in contact with us? I know you are on, but we couldn't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. At least I can.
Thank you.
I agree with the other comments from the board members about the additions. I'm wondering on the three commitments, which I agree they should be in there. I'm wondering if we're not going to, if people aren't tuned into what we've done, if we're not going to get confused, okay, we have five strategic priorities, how do these commitments match with our priorities, and if there shouldn't be a small narrative on that, what are people's thoughts?
This is Member Thompson. I think a brief explanation of what they are is called for as well.
And this is Sue. I wonder if the board, if we would like to have those be guiding principles, if the board needs to take some formal action in January, that might be something to consider.
Okay, I will, Commissioner, if you can make note of that, we can talk about having some formal action around those, of course, once you meet with the governor, et cetera, on that, we can talk and make sure we got a plan for a January meeting.
Got it. Will do.
Any other comments, suggestions from board members?
This is Member Michael. I have a quick question.
Okay, go ahead.
Will this document following the January meeting be made public so I could like show students what the state board's been doing this past year?
Yes, this is Erin Harden with the department. The final report will absolutely be a part of your January packet. So yes, it will be made public.
Thank you.
Any other board comments? Okay, I'm not hearing any, so thank you, Erin, for putting that together, and we'll look forward to the final draft. Item 4, bylaw changes/update. You guys should have gotten the red line. I mean, it's the one that we had the subcommittee put together, which was Member Hull, Member Harmon, and Member Hemshoot. That went over those updates. So I just wanted to make sure everybody had that. And any of those committee members want to speak to it specifically, go ahead. And what I'm thinking is you have the red line edition. If there's any suggestions, comments, questions between now and the January meeting, go ahead and, you know, get in contact with those subcommittee members or one of them and go over those and if it's rationale, whatever it may be, you can just talk to them directly. So I open it up to the subcommittee members.
I'm sorry, this is Member Thompson. I don't have anything I don't have any documents.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Van Meer. I was just going to say the same thing. I don't have anything either.
Yeah, keep going, Bill. This is Student Advisor Michael. I don't either.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get that. We'll have Melissa go ahead and send that out to all of them. which you still have till a January meeting to obviously look it over and have your comments to the subcommittee members. So I'd open it up to the subcommittee members then to make comments.
This is Member Hall. I'd just like to make a few comments relative to what you'll see when you get the draft. First, thanks to the other committee members, to John and Rebecca, because they've given significant time, both in face-to-face meetings where we've talked about the bylaws, but also in between in checking the drafts. And when you see the document, it's somewhat complicated, and I apologize in advance for that, but I didn't know how else, other than giving you two documents to try and compare, which I know can sometimes get lost in translation. So I put the text from our existing bylaws into the proposal, so you'll see it before any of the articles that have been changed. And then there's rationale below that as to, you know, what changes were made and why. And obviously, I did my best to give all the rationale, but you may well have other questions. And please don't hesitate to either email or give me a call, and I'd be happy to answer questions. I think the other issue I'd like to raise is about the standing rules. When you see the document, we pulled a couple of issues out for standing rules based on advice from, you know, the review that NASB did, as well as the sample bylaws that they send us from other states and sample standing rules. And so we pulled a couple of things out of our bylaws to be considered for inclusion in standing rules. The board may decide not to take them out and just to leave us with bylaws alone. But I wanted to comment that if we decide to do standing rules, there's a lot more work to be done there. And the commissioner had mentioned at our meeting in Juneau that there were issues he felt it would be useful to have documented in standing rules. Just a word about the difference between the two. Bylaws require a two-thirds vote. They require significant notice ahead of time before they're changed. They're kind of the, you know, because they're the governing documents for the organization, there's a much higher standard for, you know, you can't just suspend bylaws like you can policies or standing rules. So putting some things in standing rules that we might want to be a little more flexible on, or that, you know, we don't necessarily think should clutter up the bylaws. If you read through NASB's recommendations, they talk a lot about keeping the bylaws only to those things that really need to be in concrete, and utilizing standing rules for other things that we would like to have be more nimble. So two things just to for you to think about. One is, what are the other topics that we maybe should include in the standing rules? And then second, what's the process that we'd like to go through to, you know, generate a draft of standing rules? It might be well for the department to do that, and I'm not, you know, trying to push that work off to someone else, but because the commissioner had mentioned there were items he felt needed to be included, maybe that's something that the department would like to take on, or would you like the committee to continue and, you know, maybe draft standing rules? As far as I know, among the committee members, there are only a few topics. I mean, I think we pulled out two or three for standing rules, and, you know, maybe we could come up with one or two others, but we don't have amongst ourselves a long list of items that we think should be included. But if the group would like the committee to undertake that work, perhaps we could in the future. But we won't be ready for that action in January. And I just kind of wanted to call that to people's attention. And that's all I have.
And this is Commissioner Johnson. So what we can do, I certainly want the committee to continue to approve whatever goes before the full board. But what we can do is we can work with NASB now that we're members of that organization, find out what other state board of educations have in the way of standing rules, and maybe even look at some examples of district bylaws and see if any of that would apply, and then bring something to the committee to review and work on, and then from the committee to the full board.
I think that sounds great.
Okay, thank you, Sue. Any other comments from the subcommittee members or board members?
Yeah, this is Member Harmon, and I just wanted to thank Sue. I know Rebecca and Sue and I, you know, worked on it together, but Sue was our scribe, and she kept the organization in place. So thank you, Member Hall, for doing that.
This is Member Thompson. I just have a question, and you're not having the document in front of me. Were there gigantic, significant changes recommended, or new language in new items?
This is Member Hall. I would say yes. It's a significant rewrite. From just the beginning articles, the articles that existed previously aren't synchronized with, you know, what Robert's Rules suggests or what NASB suggested in their review. So some of them are kind of organizational changes, and that's significant. We didn't really have a lot of significant, now correct me if I'm wrong, other committee members, but I don't recall a lot of significant policy changes in terms of the bylaws, but the structure, the organization is significantly different.
Thank you.
And Member Thompson, this is Member Harmon. I think what we tried to do is to capture, you know, how the board and the organization is currently operating. So to the extent, you know, as it relates to setting meetings and things like that, I think you'll see a reflection of our current activities incorporated into the new proposed bylaws versus some of the language that was there before.
Okay. One thing I was wondering, were any changes made to the descriptions of duties of different officers, board officers?
Not anything significant that I'm remembering.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Chair Fields again. So what I would suggest is we're going to get the document. You have time between now and January to review it. Sue, you mentioned the voting. Are there two readings, I'm assuming, of this?
Well, I don't know what the department's practice is relative to changes to the board's bylaws, but Roberts doesn't require two readings, just requires 30 days notice, I think. That's what's usually recommended.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry, this is Commissioner Johns. I was just going to let the board know. You'll get those in your email inbox later this afternoon.
Okay. So we don't. I mean, we can obviously discuss the January meeting, but it's not like we're trying to force this thing into a vote at the January meeting. So we'll play it by ear, see how it looks, and we'll discuss it, but it most likely will not take a vote at that meeting, so we'll have time to discuss it. Any other board comments?
Yeah, and this is Sue. I just want to follow up about that. I really feel like we needed a face-to-face to talk about it, and there's no urgency. I think it would be fine to talk about it in January, give people more time to think about it, and then do a vote. It's unfortunate that the vote would then occur on a conference call because it's so difficult, you know, to communicate. But I don't think there's any urgency.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Fields, this is Rebecca.
Go ahead.
I think that kind of, I know Santa sent out more board self-evaluation items for us. I was wondering if we should bring those. I don't think those are on the agenda today. So should we try to look at our bylaws and our self-evaluation kind of as an overhaul and try to bring those two processes together? And they're not exactly related, but it's kind of, you know, how do we function as a board? So just seems like we need to do something with those self-evaluation questions at some point. And maybe it's a completely separate issue.
Yeah, I actually had in my board comments to talk about that. What that was just to get you guys some ideas at the January meeting. Timmy Tullis from AASB, she goes to boards all over the state and talks and then goes over the board evaluations, goes over other stuff. So, and she's right there in Juneau. And so that's kind of what we've done at this point and we could talk basically with bylaws and self-evaluation if we wanted to with her, just because she's familiar with and experienced doing that. So, yeah, the plan is to talk about the self-evaluation and the bylaws at our January meeting, and we'll actually have someone that can walk us through that as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Any other comments on this agenda item? Okay, well, thank you, subcommittee, for your work so far, and we look forward to talking about it more at the January meeting. Next up is regulations to go out for public comment, 5A, World Languages Limited Certificate. Commissioner or Bob Williams, whoever.
The board is being asked to open a period of public comment on a regulation regarding a world language expert limited teacher certificate, and I'm not sure if Director Williams is there or Sandra. Director Williams had two commitments this morning.
This is Sandra Meredith, Administrator for Teacher Education and Certification. I can proceed, Commissioner, if you would like.
Please do.
Okay. So before the board is a regulation that would allow for more options for districts that offer world language immersion programs to staff their schools. I would briefly like to go through what the requirements of that would be, and then if there's any questions, I'd be available for those. So this limited certificate would allow for those individuals that have extensive knowledge, expertise in a world language to be certified if they hold a bachelor's degree and if they would be able to demonstrate the competency with the world language through one of the world language exams that you have already adopted, and then also pass a math portion of one of the basic competency exams. This allowance would substitute for the full basic competency exam that we currently require for certification, and this would be one of the primary reasons it would be limited. It would be for those individuals that have the difficulties with that particular requirement for regular certification. And then the third major piece would allow for individuals who have yet to complete a teacher preparation program to actually enroll in a program concurrently while they were holding the certificate. And they would have 2 years, similar to our proof of program enrollment certificate, to complete that program. We've heard from our world language programs across the state of their difficulties with staffing, and this is in direct response to that. Beyond sponsoring an individual, the districts would also be committed through this certification process to mentor those individuals, provide mentorship, a mentor for them for their first 2 years of instruction in the class, or first 2 years of teaching in a classroom as well, to make sure that the quality of instruction is held up while the teacher is first involved with students in the immersion programs. The other pieces to note is that the limited piece of this would also
restrict the teacher from teaching in any language besides the language in which they are have the expertise. So they would not be able to teach, use the language of English for instruction. They would also only be allowed to teach in the areas that they're actually endorsed on their certificate. So that's kind of the synopsis of the proposal. Are there any questions?
This is Dr. Hamilton.
Go ahead.
Thanks for the report, and I'm excited because a lot of our rural villages that are working really hard to maintain their own native languages should be able to benefit from this if they're not already, making sure that we're able to keep those languages alive. I'm assuming that will be a benefit through this action. And also, I was curious as to why the math requirement is added on to the language requirement. Can you address that?
Member Hamilton, yes. First, a clarification. The world languages that this speaks to are those languages that are recognized as languages or world languages within the list that are within the Praxis and Teachers of Foreign Languages list. They do not at this point have the option for native languages because there's not exams available in those languages at this time. We've included a definition within the regulation to explain that. If you look on page 94, section J, the world languages that are covered are only those that have appropriate content area exams that have already been adopted by the board.
Okay, thank you for further explaining that. I'm a little bummed out that this isn't opening the door for some of our native language learners. I understand why that has to be with exams. I'm just a little bummed because I thought we were advancing forward with assisting our village partners to have more access. So thank you. And then the math conversation?
The math portion is we wanted to maintain the structure of the basic competency exam within this requirement, and the areas that we've heard are most problematic for the world language teachers that districts are looking at employing as predominantly the language elements of that basic competency exam. So the math one is included to maintain that the rigor that we expect from classroom teachers in our state.
Okay, thank you. It's a little arbitrary, I guess, that math was chosen then by someone to feel that would be the greatest way to hold accountability for this new certificate. Who was it that got together to determine that math would be an additional requirement?
We were, Member Hamilton, we were following the basic guidelines of a regular certification in our state, which requires a reading, a writing, and a math exam, a basic competency exam, in those specific areas. That's a statutory requirement. And we were respecting that requirement by including the math portion in addition to the language portions of the that the individual would have the knowledge and background in.
Okay, thank you, Sandra. Who is the we that you keep referring to, buddy?
This was put together within the department, consulting with our attorney.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
This is Bob Williams, Director of Educator and School Excellence, and I'm part of the WE also. And part of that is from some of the feedback we received from districts and HR was that particularly in placement of immersion teachers, who may have advanced credentials from other places. The passing the reading and writing English portion sometimes was a challenge, and so this was a discussion we had within the department. Sandra and I, she's a teacher certification administrator, in ways in which we could try and provide some extra flexibility while maintaining standards for quality.
Fairfield, this is Member Hinshute.
Oh, go ahead.
So, Keith, I think the way I'm envisioning this is if you are an immersion school and you have elementary teachers, you need them to have the minimum level of math capacity, but their ability to read and write English don't, that ability doesn't matter so much because they'll be teaching in Japanese or whatever their first language is, but we need to make sure that when they're teaching in their first language, they've got the basic math down. So I support this. Sandra, what do you have any idea how many teachers we're even looking at with this? Like how many spots would help fill?
Member Hinshute, I don't have an exact number. The comments that have been made by the various HR managers across the state would indicate it may amount to a similar amount that utilizes some of our other limited certificates, like the Type M, probably anywhere between 10 to 20 at the, you know, kind of at the probably extreme end. But
okay.
Those 10 to 20 will be, you know, very important to those schools who are trying to fill those teaching positions at the time.
Right, and I can imagine that in immersion school, you can't get a higher level of, you know, your standards, your best professional to teach in the targeted language would be a native speaker of that language, but we have to maintain the certificate, the integrity of the certificate. So I like this solution. Thank you.
And this is Member Harmon. I think a lot of my questions were already asked, and I'm always interested if it does go out to public comment, how the comment, the public responds during the comment period. But so I appreciate Member Hinshute asking how many this may impact. And I do appreciate Member Hamilton's concern about the map. Question for you, Sandra, are there any limited teacher certificates where we don't have a math portion? And that's just for my own edification, or do all of our limited teacher certifications require that?
Member Harmon, the only teaching certificate that is limited is the Type A, or Type M, and there's three different parts to the Type M. There's a Type M that is for Alaska Native Language and Culture that does not require a basic competency exam, but those individuals are limited to the Alaska Native Language and Culture that they're teaching. There's the ROTC Type M that does not require a basic competency exam, but again, those individuals are limited to only teach the curriculum that would be part of ROTC. The third Type M is the CTE exam, and within the last few years, the board has put into place a requirement for a basic competency exam for the Type M CTEs because of the relationship of the curriculum that they teach to our standards, and the field and the board concurred that those individuals need to show basic competency in the reading, writing, and math areas.
Very good. Thank you. I appreciate that clarification and also the detailed explanation about the differences, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other?
This is Member Michael. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, would this be limited solely to
immersion schools, or could a world language teacher who worked at like a traditional school use this certification?
Member Michael, this certificate would be available to a district to sponsor a teacher either in an immersion or in a regular high school setting or middle school setting. So it would serve in both settings.
Okay, thank you.
Member Michael, this is Bob Williams again, and this is a limited certificate, so the district needs to request it. And one of the requirements is that the instruction, the teacher still needs endorsements, but the instruction, all of the instruction needs to be in the world language.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments, questions? Okay, thank you for presenting, and we look forward to the public comment. Item 6, adoption of proposed regulations. 6A is Praxis 2 content area exams. Commissioner?
Chair Fields, you're fading in and out.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, okay. Well, we're at 6A, Praxis 2 content area exams.
I'm
Commissioner?
Ready. Yeah,
okay.
The board is being asked to adopt amendments to regulations regarding teacher certification. And this is Sandra and Bob again.
This is Sandra Meredith, Administrator for Teacher Education and Certification. As this was put out for a public comment previously, I'll briefly summarize what was in the regulation, and then if you have any questions concerning the regulation or the public comment, I'll be available for those questions. So to begin with, the first section of the proposed regulations is looking at adding an additional basic competency route through cut scores for the GRE. Again, this is to provide more options for teachers to meet that basic competency requirement. The proposed scores cut scores were based on a survey of what other states are doing in this regard. So they align to what other states use for their passing scores. The second portion of the regulation is adding additional content areas in areas that we don't currently have the content area exams in, including early childhood, English to speakers for other languages. Special education for preschool, early childhood, reading, then also agriculture, algebra, computer science, journalism, music, physical education, psychology, social studies, and sociology. So basically this is expanding the types of content area exams that are available. We have looked at the offerings of ETS and incorporated those into the regulation so that there's again more options for individuals coming to our state. The proposed Praxis 2 required scores are utilizing the multi-state standard testing studies that ETS does with each of their exams now. And so the way those cut scores are recommended is they bring together groups of individuals that have expertise in the content areas and conduct a study that results in a recommended score. And these are the scores that most other states are using as well. The
in the areas of agriculture, algebra, computer science, journalism, music, physical education, psychology, social studies, and sociology, those particular content area specific exams will also allow for teachers who have been teaching those areas that take those exams to add endorsements to their certificate. That's the basic structure of this regulation, and I'm available now for comments or questions.
And this is Member Harmon. May I ask a question, Chair Fields?
Go ahead.
Yeah, in the first one we talked about as it relates to the certification, that's the one that has the public comments under 9A. Is that correct, Sandra?
Yes, I believe there's also comments that follow the comments are in 6A as well behind the regulation packet.
Okay, and I had two questions on that. In reviewing these, I've only seen one real noted concern on this. The first question for you, have you received others? Everything I've heard has been fairly supportive other than this one noted concern. So, A, I'm interested if you've received any additional feedback. And then the second one, I saw a note here that was from Terry Hale, and it said regulation file to be opened, and I wasn't sure the context of that or if that if I should be looking at something or if that came from someone else. That was the second public comment under 9A.
Member Harmon, just a moment. I'm going to look at my I just printed off 6A for I have candy, so let me pull that up real quick.
Well, we have a minute, you guys. Good morning. Kenny Gellhorn's in the meeting.
Morning. Welcome.
You want to explain?
Member Harmon, this is Erin Harden with the department. All the public comments for this regulation item is under 6A. I believe what you may be referring to under 9A was a prior version of the board packet. The final packet as it is now does not have any public comment behind 9A. So I hope that helps clarify your question.
Yeah, well, and again, I received a hard copy packet, so I'm just flipping through my hard copy packet here.
There were a couple of adjustments made, so I apologize for the confusion.
No need to apologize. So again, I guess the question I have, to my knowledge, I just want to verify there's only been one public comment of concern related to this proposed regulation. And the second one, again, there was a note in there that said regulation filed opened, but I wasn't sure how we were to interpret that in the context of this regulation. So those were the two primary questions I had.
Member Harmon, this is Sandra Meredith again. As to my knowledge, all of the public comment is in the packet behind 6A. Beyond that, there has been no additional comments made to myself concerning this regulation.
Okay, thank you.
And Member Harmon, this is Erin Harden again. Your question about the piece of public comment about the regulation file open, that was pulled from the final packet. It's just a copy from Department of Law that we've opened a project file for this particular regulation. It's not a part of public.
Oh, okay.
It's an internal copy.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying. I just wasn't, again, I was trying to interpret what it meant. I have never seen that in public comment before, but,
yes.
But thank you. That makes sense.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments on this agenda item?
I just have a comment. This is Member Michael.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say that I really support this additional regulation. Like, our schools need teachers, and the best way to have good teachers is to have multiple people qualified for the jobs that the administration can pick between. So I just want to express my support for this regulation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is the technical Vammeter. I have a comment as well.
Go ahead.
Same thing. I think this is a great measure. Strongly support this. We get a lot of military spouses, especially, who come in and out of the state. They may only be here for a couple, two, 3 years, but the more they have a lot to offer and have some opportunities to get into the schools, the easier we can make it in some regards to get those people in schools. It just offers more opportunities for them to teach and make an impact.
Thank you. And just to finish up, I support this as well, and thank you for the work that's been put in and the people that have put public comments on this. Thank you for paying attention. And it just offers another, like Lieutenant Colonel Van Meter said, just offers another way that makes it a little easier when you've already passed other exams in other states to come and teach here and not have to feel burdened with passing another type of exam. So thank you for working on this, and thank you for your presentation. 6B, guidelines for inclusion of students with disabilities and English learners. Commissioner?
The board is being asked to adopt amendments regarding revisions to the participation guidelines and the repeal of the college and career ready assessment graduation requirement. And Margaret McKinnon is going to take this one.
Good morning. This is Margaret McKinnon, Federal Programs Coordinator. And what you have before you is a packet of regulations that has really two sections. One is the section on repealing the college and career ready assessment graduation requirement based on the change in the statute previously. And you've seen those regulations before, but due to an item that was missed, they're back before you in this package. But the other part of the regulation is to revise the document that has been called Participation Guidelines for Alaska Students in State Assessment. And so we are proposing a slight name change to that document, Participation Guidelines for Inclusion of Alaska Students in State Assessments, to better clarify the purpose that this document outlines accommodations that are available for students with disabilities and English learners to help them participate successfully in the assessments. So behind this cover memo, you see the proposed regulations. You'll see the draft document. You'll see the public comment. And then an additional document is provided that shows a list of the changes that were made in response to that public comment. So the document has been changed from the prior draft that you saw previously in September. We did address and valued that public comment. There were some good comments, and we were able to incorporate the vast majority of those as they were applicable. And appreciate the comments from the field in helping us to make this document as complete and useful as it can be. Are there any questions?
Yeah, this is Rebecca Hemshoot. Margaret, I just want to make sure I understand. So Dr. Clam or Dr. Bishop provided quite a few comments, and you're saying that those have been followed up on in the most recent version?
Member Hemshoot, yes. The list of changes that were made reflects changes based on all four of the public comment documents that we received. So Dr. Bishop's comments were included in that. So they were all reviewed, and when applicable, we have made changes.
Can you speak to her suggestion for her second paragraph where she talks about the overall process of revising accommodations. Is it possible to consider what she's suggesting? What would that look like? Like, are there rules governing how we do this that would make it so we couldn't do what she's suggesting?
I'm just going to reread this paragraph quickly. So the document that you have in your packet is adopted by regulation, and our goal is to make that as streamlined as possible to make that the guidelines that districts have to follow. And some of the suggestions about additional information are covered in additional resources or test administrator directions. So we're trying to find a balance because this document does have to go back through regulation and adoption. One thing that happens is when we change an assessment system, assessment systems are different, and that can require a change in this document to be applicable to those particular assessments. We do work with the districts and, in fact, had a call with the Anchorage staff yesterday. So it's a continuous process of working with the stakeholders and the districts about how to provide the resources in a most efficient manner for them.
Okay, so, yeah, misunderstanding what she's suggesting, my understanding of the second paragraph in her commentary is that we basically put as little as possible in the guidelines in order to keep flexibility by putting as much as possible in the handbook. Is that basically how I should read that?
That's correct.
And you feel that's pretty much how we're doing it?
That's our goal. I think I would say that's how we're doing. That's our intent for this document, to be as streamlined as possible, but to maintain the specific requirements for the individual assessment.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Member Harmon. I guess along that lines, and I may have two questions here. I know, and again, this is referring to Dr. Bishop's letter of public comment, and this is on the last page. She said, you know, the examples provided herein are not an exhaustive list, but represent some of the concerns they have in its draft form. And maybe you can answer these questions. Are we under a timeline to approve this with the assessments coming up in the spring? And I guess my second question, and this may be something for legal counsel, you know, have we or can we put something out for public comment a second time? That being said, I know we had public comment yesterday and nobody said anything or expressed any concerns, so I guess we could take that into consideration. But I guess those are two points that are weighing on my mind as I read through her letter and listen to your explanation of what's been addressed.
Through the chair, Member Harmon, this document reflects an update from the previous document that was adopted in December of 2015, I believe. We ran into the situation where, due to the short timeline for our new PEAKS assessment, we did not have time to update this document through the regulatory process before the assessment took place. And she did reference that information in her letter. I think where we are is this document now will be the essential mandated guidelines, and the additional information in the handbook that she referenced, as well as other resources. Our plan is to continue to work with the SPED team in the department and with districts to refine those resources and provide more support for them for actually how to determine what accommodations students need and make sure that those are provided in the standardized form on the assessment for the unique needs of each student.
Okay, thank you. And I appreciate it. I know you've shared that before, Margaret, so thank you for sharing it again with me. I'm just trying to make sure, and you folks are very responsive to the district needs, so I appreciate that. But I always like to keep that in mind, you know, before we pass something into regulation. So thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, thank you for your presentation. We're a little ahead of schedule, and we're going to Mount Edgecombe at 10:05, but that has to stay right around there because they have substitute teachers coming in so they can present to us. So if there is no objection, we'll go into the business meeting and you know, as soon as 10:05 hits, we'll get to them. So, but we'll go into the business meeting portion, and we have an 8A is now the appointment of the student rep. Do we have a motion?
Go ahead.
What? James, you cut out. Can you say that again?
Oh, I cut out. Well, see, that's the fun of cell phones, I guess. I was waiting for it. 8A is now the appointment of the student advisor on the agenda, and so I was just asking for a motion for this final selection.
I'm not sure what the motion should sound like. I'm using the paper packet. This is Rebecca, and everything that you're talking about. So I guess I'll just open my computer and try to get up to speed. But I guess the motion would be something like I move. Go ahead.
Oh, I found it if you want me to read it.
Okay.
Please do.
this is Barbara. Do you want me to read the motion?
Please do.
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to help me with the last name. I move the State Board of Education and Early Development select.
Her name is Candace Loring.
I couldn't remember the last name. Candace.
Loring, L-O-R-R-I-N-G.
As its student advisor elect for the remainder of the school year 2017 to 2018. On July 1st, 2018, Candace Loring's one-year term will begin as the student advisor to the board and continue through June 30th, 2019.
This is Rebecca. I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
This is Charles Michael.
Go ahead.
I just like to say that Candace was a strong candidate both at the OSAW conference and at the state board meet executive session last evening. And I just really look forward to seeing what she's going to do when she gets on the board. Thank you.
And this is Member Harmon. I just wanted to comment that I thought all three individuals were outstanding candidates. You know, I applaud them for their interest in the state board and wish them well. But again, they all did an outstanding job.
This is Member Thompson. I agree 100% with you, John. It was a pleasure to interview all of these students and hear about their hopes and dreams. And it was not an easy decision, but I'm just really happy that we're going to have Candace on board and look forward to meeting her.
As a member Hamilton, I was also excited about all three candidates. However, I wish this could be done face-to-face, and if there was a way to maneuver this decision-making time to when we're going to be in our face-to-face meetings, as few as they are, it really helps them and us both, I think, to be able to meet each other and to see them, not just have a voice across the phone waves. Thank you.
This is Member Hemshut. I would have to completely agree with Dr. Hamilton. I don't feel comfortable still with executive session in a telemeeting. But I also wanted to speak to the diversity of the candidates we had this time around. You know, we got lucky when we got Member Michael, but this time around I feel like we had really nice diversity, and that's something we had asked AFLAC to take care of. So I feel like we had really great candidates, and Candace will do a wonderful job for us, but it was nice to have such strong candidates from such diverse backgrounds to choose from.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Member Gallagher?
Yes.
Dr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Second Vice Chair Harmon?
Yes.
Member Hinton? Member Hemshut? Sorry, yes. Chair Hall?
Yes.
Member Hemshut, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes, yeah, sorry, I pushed the wrong button. Yes.
Okay. Member Michael?
Strong, yes.
Member Thompson?
Yes.
Lieutenant Colonel Van Meter?
Yes.
Chair Field?
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote? Hearing no changes? Thank you. And congratulations to Tanis in being selected. And again, it was already been said, great candidates, and thank you for being interested in helping us make decisions for the next year. Next item is regulations to go out for public comment. Item 8B, World Languages Limited Certificate. Commissioner?
The board is being asked to open a period of public comment on a regulation regarding a World Language Expert Limited Certificate.
This is Member Thompson. I move the State Board of Education and Early Development open a period of public comment on 4 AAC 12.388 World Language Expert Limited Teacher Certificate.
This is Member Harmon. I second that motion.
Okay, thank you. It's moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Member Gallagher?
Yes.
Dr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Second Vice Chair Harmon?
Yes.
Member Hemshut?
Yes.
First Vice Chair Ho?
Yes.
Member Michael?
Yes.
Member Thompson?
Yes.
Lieutenant Colonel Van Meter?
Yes.
Chair Field?
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote at this time? Hearing no changes?
Motion is passed.
Okay, thank you. Item 9, adoption of proposed regulations, 9A, Praxis 2 Content Area Exams. Commissioner?
The board is being asked to adopt amendments to regulations regarding teacher certification.
This is Member Thompson. I move the State Board of Education and Early Development adopt the proposed amendments to 4 AAC 12.310 designation and qualifying scores of teacher competency examination, and 4 AAC 12.407 content area examinations.
Member Gallagher, seconds.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. Discussion.
You cut out, Chair.
I did. Oh, sorry. It moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Yeah, this is Member Harmon. I know some comments were made earlier, and I do support this. I also want to acknowledge, I know there was a concern where folks felt that, maybe this was lowering the standards in Alaska. I don't necessarily believe that to be the case. I think what it is doing is offering flexibility. And I really do look as a former principal to the administration in the schools to help, in addition to the state as it relates to its quality control, you know, that the administration in the schools are also responsible, you know, along that lines as well. But again, I do support this regulation.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Member Gallinghorn?
Yes.
Dr. Hamilton?
Yes.
First Vice Chair Harmon?
Yes.
Member Hemshute?
Yes.
First Vice Chair Hull?
Yes.
Member Michael?
Yes.
Member Thompson?
Yes.
Lieutenant Colonel Van Meter?
Yes.
Chair Field?
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote at this time? Hearing no changes?
The motion is passed.
Okay, thank you. Item 9B, guidelines for inclusion of students with disabilities and English learners. Commissioner?
The board is being asked to adopt amendments to regulations regarding revisions to the participation guidelines and the repeal of the College and Career Ready Assessment graduation requirement.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion?
This is Member Hull. After considering all public comment, I move the State Board of Education and Early Development adopt the proposed amendments to 4AAC 06.710, Statewide Student Assessment System, 4AAC 06.717, College and Career Readiness Assessments, 4AAC 06.718, College and Career Readiness Assessment after student receives a Certificate of Achievement, 4AAC 06.721, College and Career Readiness Assessment Waivers, 4AAC 06.722, Waiver for Entering the Public School System Late, 4AAC 06.723, Rare or Unusual Circumstances, 4AAC 06.724, Procedures for Appeal from a Denial of a Waiver from the College and Career Readiness Assessment, 4AAC 06765, Test Security, Consequences of Breach, 4AAC 06.775, Statewide Assessment Program for Students with Disabilities, 4AAC 06.776, Assessment of a Student with Limited English Proficiency, and 4AAC 06.790 definition.
This is Member Thompson. I second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion?
Yeah, and this is Member Harm, and I think I mentioned this or alluded to this a little bit before. Again, I support, you know, what we're trying to do as it relates to adoption of these regulations regarding the revisions to the participation guide. I really appreciate Director McKinnon's explanation of that. I still am not certain, though, that I feel like all of the issues of the Anchorage School District have been addressed. And I know they didn't make public comment yesterday. And, you know, my thoughts were, again, I don't know if we're under a time frame for this, but I really would like to hear from them again. So I guess at this point I'll probably vote no at this point, not because I don't support what's being done. It's just that I'd like a confirmation from, you know, the public that everything is being addressed that should be addressed before it's put into final regulatory form.
Chairfield, this is Rebecca. I have similar concerns, but I don't know if I were to vote no, what situation would that put us in? Like, it's not that I don't trust the department. I'm just not, I'm concerned that we haven't given Anchorage more time to address this partial list. you know, when they, I'm very concerned about that comment. So what are the ramifications? Maybe it's too late to be asking these questions. What are the ramifications right now if this doesn't go through today and wait till January? Does that, is there a, like a federal deadline that we're trying to meet?
Margaret, this is Commissioner Johnson. I'm going to let you answer that question.
Thank you, Commissioner. Margaret McKinnon, Federal Programs Coordinator. Member Hemschut and Member Harmon, there's not a federal deadline we're meeting. What we are doing is finalizing in regulation the changes that actually were implemented last year for the new assessments. And getting this out to the field in a final form so that they are comfortable with what they need to make available to their students with disabilities. As I mentioned earlier, this document has been in place for a long time and it gets revised as necessary when assessments change. And due to our timeline for implementation of PEAKS last year, we weren't able to get it revised. So we had a previous version available for some assessments and then we had additional resources on the website. And so that is one reason we were getting this document to you at this time of year, so that school districts have time to ensure that they have all the accommodations, information that they need as they prepare for the assessment. And not only for the assessment, but so that teachers can have this information for the instruction, so that when students take an assessment, they are using accommodations that they are used to in instruction, and that's the reason for the timeline now. And we did have, as I mentioned, this document is the structure of what's available, but the other resources will be reviewed and looked at. We did have a good conversation with the staff in the Anchorage District yesterday, as I mentioned earlier, and have a plan to work more with them probably the first of the year, work with our staff on the special ed side. One of their concerns was information that goes out about assessments may not always get to the program side of staff in the district. So we do have a plan to address those concerns about the process and collaborative working arrangements to try to take the information in this document and implement it.
We make sure people have they're muted when someone's speaking, because someone must not be muted and we're getting sound back. That was a good, Margaret, and you may be able to speak to this. Is this, I mean, in the whole special ed, a lot of times they'll have questions on, one of them was scratch paper. They'll have those questions about what the regulation means or what's allowed. That's pretty common, even if you try not to put some of that stuff in there. Is it common to have directors call and say, what about this, what about this, when you're dealing with some of those small issues?
Yes, Chair Fields, it is common, and when we get in questions, we collaborate with our special education staff to see who would be the most appropriate person to work with the district to answer those questions, and including questions about whether a particular change in delivery would be an allowed accommodation or might make the test modified and not be able to be have a reportable score, because it actually changes the construct of the assessment. So we do have those comments and questions on a regular basis.
Right. So I and from what I'm understanding, you've tried to minimize that as much as you can, but there's only so far you can go, because then you could probably have to go the other way, where the questions would be, okay, can you define better what we can and cannot do? So you kind of run a balancing act of how specific you get and how vague you can get, right?
You're very correct that it is a balancing act. We try not to put too much into regulation, because the process does require this public comment and official changing. But it has to have kind of the minimum requirements that are there, and then we have additional supporting information for the implementation.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Field?
Yeah.
This is Member Ho. I'd just like to comment that I
what I hear Margaret saying, I think responds to the concerns that have been registered, and I think appropriately registered, regarding the department's willingness to work with districts. I have no trouble voting to support this motion, number one, because I believe it that we need to move forward with it, but number two, that there haven't been, I mean, I've been on this board long enough to know that if districts were had significant concerns, they would have spoken up, and they didn't recently. I believe there's a sense in the districts that, you know, maybe not every question in their previous concerns was responded to, but if there were objections, we would have heard that more recently. So I have no problem supporting this motion, and I believe that I'm also encouraged, in addition to that, to hear Director McKinnon describe the process for working through the concerns that districts might have.
And this is Commissioner Johnson. I'll just follow up her comment and say, I have not had any superintendent directly engage me on that topic, and so it hasn't been an issue that has arisen in discussions I've had with individual superintendents. Having said that, the department's bent is that we will be responsive when concerns, issues arise, and you know, whether that's in this document or not, we I mean, that's our goal. What we want is for the test to be effective and to work in all the different settings around the state.
This is Member Hempstead. I guess I'd just like to follow up, and I feel much more comfortable now with a yes vote on this, but I also recognize the importance of getting this out, as Margaret stated, because we need, like, I'll be doing practice work, or, you know, I'll be, as I work with my own students, I want them using the tools and the accommodations they have now in the classroom, because it helps them be successful in the classroom, and because it will help them be able to use those tools successfully in a testing environment. So, yeah, let's go for it. Thanks.
Okay, any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Member Gallahorn?
Yes.
Dr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Second Vice Chair Harmon?
Yeah, I would still be a no until I heard back from Anchorage, so no.
Member Hemshoot?
Yes.
First Vice Chair Hull?
Yes.
Member Michael?
Yes.
Member Thompson?
Yes.
Lieutenant Colonel Van Meter?
Yes.
Chair Fields?
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote? Okay, hearing none?
The motion has passed.
Okay, thank you. We're now getting right on track here, so we're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute break at 10:05, and then we'll have Mount Edgecombe review the curriculum review and then go into the rest of our business meeting. So take a 10-minute break, and if you can stay, just stay online and just mute your phones, that would be preferable, so we're not having to get to go back in. Okay? Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, it's 10:05. Is Juno on?
We are here, Chairfield. Thank you.
Okay, the commissioner?
I'm here.
Okay, we'll go back up to item 7 then, and non-educational high school curriculum review. Commissioner?
Okay, let me find it here. Just a minute. I set it aside, and now I can't figure out where I set it.
No problem.
Fana, if you're there and you have it in front of you, can you just read it?
Hi, this is Marcy. Fana had to step out for a moment. Oh, I'll read it. This is Barbara.
Agenda item 7.
I found it. The board is being asked to review Mount Edgecombe curriculum presentation. Thank you. And Janelle Banas is online and going to present.
Hey. Good morning, everyone. What we have here is in our cycle, this is the year that our liberal arts is going to present to you. I want to give some context because we've been talking about the curriculum review process here. And our current process is the department presents to you, and that's what's happening today. It gives you a chance. This is the start of their curriculum review process. So this is your time to provide them any feedback that they might use in a process that will take the next 2 years in which they will revise their curriculum or update their curriculum. So that's this presentation is at that stage in our curriculum development. Are there any questions on that? Okay. I'll let the liberal arts go ahead and present to you. They're presenting to you their current curriculum and any ideas or, you know, where they're going from here.
Hi, this is Katie Mulligan. I'm the freshman art. I have taught senior futures. I have taught digital photography, currently teaching ceramics and drawing and painting and art and freshman art here at Mount Edgecombe. I've taught for 15 years. I'm currently, as I said, you got the packet, so I don't need to read all about myself, but I also advise the art club and the GSA, and I've sat on several committees. Drawing and painting is a class that's designed to teach students how to draw and paint, and it's designed to teach students to express themselves, problem solve, and to learn about who they are as a person. We have several projects that relate to drawing and painting. They keep sketchbooks. They build a digital portfolio, and they keep a separate journal for daily responses to slides, art history, vocabulary, and any artists or art movement that we're talking about. And then art, so I teach drawing and painting during one semester, and then art is more of a general art class. I teach that during a different semester. And that class is designed to cover as much and as many aspects of art as possible. We work not only on projects, but we learn about the history behind them. I talk to students about what they want to learn about because there's so much. I mean, since the beginning of history, there's art. So we learn a lot about history and what they want to learn about. I, of course, have a plan for the year, but I want to know what they want to learn. Just like drawing and painting, we keep a sketchbook and a journal. They'll create a digital portfolio. And sorry, I was just reading. And then they also do their daily journals where they comment on art history and slides and vocabulary movements and such things as that. It's a great class. Ceramics has really exploded in the last 5 or 6 years. I teach 2 sections per semester of ceramics, and they're full all the time. And we do everything from hand building to throwing to we learn about the history of ceramics and different styles of pots. utilitarian, expressive, all of everything that we can. And again, like in the other classes, I ask them what they want to learn about. In addition, well, also in freshman art is very introductory. We, just like the other classes, we learn about the history of what we're studying, and I ask them what they want to learn about. So I make a plan for the class, but I also say, oh, you know, I just learned about this really cool technique. You know, if you guys want to try it, and they'll be like, yeah, and so we will. So in all of my classes, we use technology in all of our classes. I'm learning more about the Google Classroom. I've been using it in drawing and painting, and I'll incorporate it more into my classes next semester. You know, their digital portfolio is on Google Slides, and they provide their opinion of each of their pieces, so there is a lot of reflection that goes on in our class. And then we research, you know, online. If they are, they check their grades online, we research their online and history of art. There are several ways that I incorporate core content material as well. You know, we read about the history of artists and art movements, and they, of course, have to learn vocabulary that goes along with each assignment. And then math, I've specifically made some projects regarding math. We use the, going back a little bit to the vocabulary to reading, we use the Freyer model to learn a word every day instead of me providing a list of words that they just memorize. So math, you know, I teach them how to map their work. Math is intuitive in art, where you're figuring out ratios and where things go in a composition. I made a lesson about tessellations, and that is very, very mathematical. That is a very quick synopsis of what I do, and if you have any questions, please ask away, or suggestions. And here's Stephen.
Yeah, next in your presentation is Mike Kimber. He is currently in Ketchikan with the wrestling team, so you can see in the presentation his rundown of what's going on with the Japanese program. I know he would be very happy to tell you at length about it. I am, maybe if you weren't doing wrestling, which is his other great passion. I'm Stephen Courtwright. I've been teaching music here since 2010. And our music curriculum is evolving continuously. Adding the freshman music class this year has done a lot of, it's caused the whole overall picture of our music program to shift a little bit, and that's a very positive thing. One of the reasons for that is that a lot of our students come to Mount Edgecombe with no background in music whatsoever. It's common for me to pull a class of students, whether it's choir or freshman music or whatever it might be, and I'll ask them how many of them have had a music class before at any point, K through 8th grade, and maybe a quarter of the class will raise their hands, but it may have been years. So we have a lot of students coming in who don't have that background, but on the other hand, we do have some students who have a lot of skill. They've coming from programs with really well-established music programs, and so we do have a few challenges with that, dealing with that diverse level of experiences. To start with the choir, our choir is a performance ensemble. It has been meeting during second semester these past couple of years, but it has also met during first semester in the past. And every semester we'll have some students who come in who have a lot of experience, but the vast majority, it's their first time singing in a group. So we always start at beginning level. And our goal is to go from being on the level of about a sixth grade choir to about the level of an eighth grade choir within 3 months. So we're gaining 3 or 4 years worth of skill in 3 months. But mostly they're able to do that because they have the physical development to do so, and they have the intellectual development to do so. there have been some students who have gone on to higher acclaim out of that ensemble. We've had students, every year since I've been here, we've had students who have attended Southeast Alaska Honor Fest. We tend to have two or three students. The max we've ever had is four. But among those, we've had several students who have placed as first chair in the ensembles, and considering this is an audition-based process where we're just trying to build the best ensembles, it's a nice thing to have our students really excelling there. The Music 1 class is in your presentation. It's not happening this year, and it's one that has become somewhat redundant, possibly because of the freshman music class. Some of our upperclassmen who haven't had music experiences in the past are being left in the wind a little bit right now, so it's something we're going to be continuing to consider when we do scheduling review in the spring. But the whole idea of that class is just if somebody hasn't had an opportunity to be exposed to singing and playing instruments, we give them some exposure across a variety of things and then have the opportunity to join one of our other classes later. I mentioned the freshman music class, I apologize, I put that one last in the slideshow, but the next one up is the Music 2 class, which is our audition-based ensemble for kids who are really experienced and high-skilled. Some of them have come through the management program and developed up through there, either in choir or the Music 1 class. I have several from freshman music right now who are auditioning for next semester. Auditions are ongoing at the moment. But just in acknowledgement of the student population we have and the musical talents that they have, this class has developed into a rock and pop ensemble. And they form the core of our pep bands. They reformat to be a jazz band so we can go to Music Fest. And they do a wide variety of other things. At our recent Thanksgiving performance, two of them assisted a teacher in serenading another teacher, and then went on to perform Schubert's Ave Maria. And then they reconfigured a little bit, and we're doing pop songs for everybody. So it's a very flexible group of students. They learn really quickly, and they represent the school very well. One of those students went to Allstate Music solo ensemble at the end of last school year, where he placed a superior on a solo piano piece and got all of about 10 words of feedback from the adjudicator, because if you were watching, the adjudicator just stopped typing notes and sat back and enjoyed the show. We're super proud of him. He also accompanies the choir and is currently talking about going on. He's looking at conservatories and in conversation with performing musicians, trying to figure out how he's going to move forward from here.
Before Mr. Cartwright talks about freshman music, I just want to step in and kind of explain this freshman concept that is new. So as you likely know, part of our requirements in the liberal arts is that students must take at least 1 year of foreign language, and we have a focus on Pacific Rim languages. So Japanese and Chinese languages are part of our liberal arts. We also have music and art, and those are elective only. And what we were finding is a lot of kids had not had any experience in those electives to even know whether they wanted to choose them. So this year we've added, we didn't replace a class, but we added a shortened period to the start of the freshman day in which they rotate between a freshman success class designed to build some organizational skills and then art and music. So the plan is by the end of your freshman year, they'll all have had at least a taste of those initial art and music courses to help them decide whether they want to choose them as electives.
Great intro. So our freshman music class, we operate under the assumption that these kids have never had anything before. Some of them, of course, have, and some of them have had relatively high-level musical experiences, so I try to build that in where there's room for them to be learning new things as well. But I try to make it as safe a place as possible. We don't want them feeling exposed, feeling vulnerable, or anything like that. If you've ever had the experience of being asked to sing when you were unprepared, that's a terrifying feeling. So making it safe as possible, doing a lot of group work, and helping them explore using their voices and a new classroom set of ukuleles, which fortunately they're plastic because those things have been dropped a lot. But the students have been really taking to that, and we're looking forward to having some opportunities to have those who have been doing well so far step forward and shine in other ways. I have been having a couple of them audition already for our Music 2 class, and their freshman year is a very busy year, but I'm really hoping to see a large number of these kids coming back as sophomores and juniors through choir and other courses when they don't have as many required classes to work through in their schedule. And that comes to the end of the part that I had prepared, and just like Mrs. Mulligan, I'm open to any comments or questions at the moment.
And this is Member Harmon. Chairfield, should we wait till the end, or should we ask questions as we go along here?
After they finish each section, if you want to ask some questions, that'd be great for comments.
I want to really thank all of you folks here at Mount Edgecombe, what you do. You know, the school has a wonderful reputation. The teachers are hard workers. You do an outstanding job. So keep doing what you're doing, and I think it's exciting when you do curriculum reviews. I know as a principal, that's something that we always look forward to at my school. Question for you folks, and this is more of a general question as it relates to, I appreciate the flexibility that I am hearing and seeing in the curriculum. One of the questions I have is, do you folks do a survey out to your audience, your target folks that are coming to Mount Edgecombe or maybe coming to Mount Edgecombe to see, you know, if we're offering everything that they think we should be as it relates to our curriculum in this area, the liberal arts area, or, you know, how are you deciding which way to go? I'm just wondering, because I know at least of our school, we did a survey out and said, hey, you know, we don't currently offer these courses, or this is how we have it structured. You know, as parents, what do you think we're missing? How do you think we should change things? Have you folks done a survey like that, or are you planning to?
This is Janelle Vanoss. To my knowledge, we haven't been doing surveys like that. I think that's a really interesting idea, and especially with the liberal arts, which is mostly elective, I think we're at the start of this process. Maybe we'll add that idea into how we move forward with our adoption.
Well, in my thoughts with that is, you know, you folks know what's out there, and like, you know, you've shared already, sometimes they come there and like, wow, you know, I didn't know this opportunity exists as it related to the arts or liberal arts or foreign languages. You know, this is pretty amazing. But, you know, to sort of, I think, give folks an idea of if we could offer these things, is there anything that really resonates with people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that idea. Okay. We have, Mr. Kimber, who does the Japanese language, is not with us. But Summer Shen, who does the Chinese language, is here, and she's going to give you a little overview of that.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, this is Summer Shen. My Chinese name, my official name is Xiao Yan Shen, which spelled like X-I-A-O-Y-A-N. So I was from China. I'm from China, and I have taught Chinese as a foreign language in Beijing for 7 years before I moved here in 2010. I start work at Mount Edgecombe as a Chinese teacher last year, and I teach Chinese 1 and Chinese 2. I also cooperate with the Confucius Institute and take my students to participate in the talent show in Anchorage every year, and also they have the ability to participate in the Chinese Bridge Contest in San Francisco for compete the Chinese class students from the nationwide. I also advise this China Club, so like the exchange program with our sister school in Yunnan, southwest China, and coordinates the local Chinese language program. So every year we will have two Chinese exchange students come to Mount Edgecombe. First introduce what we do in Chinese 1 class. So Chinese 1 focus on the usage of vocabulary and grammar so they should use these to to conduct conversational training in day-to-day situations. Students will learn pinyin as a tool for reading and writing. They will get to know Chinese history, custom, and participate Chinese cultural activities. Chinese too more focus on development of listening, speaking, reading, and writing skills. Students will learn Chinese character system for reading, writing, or typing. Chinese 2 students will also experience multiple Chinese cultural activities. They will study Chinese history and the current situation and carry on their own exploration. So when I start the class at the beginning, I will bring up why they should study Chinese, how important this language as a whole. So like compared to English native speakers, like 4 million English native speaks, but Chinese native speaks is about 1 billion and 400 million. This is research by 2015. Also, Mandarin, what we teach in school, is the official language of China and Taiwan, and one of 4 official language of Singapore, and one of 6 official language of US. Also, China is Alaska's largest trading partner. It's the second largest economic growth in the world. And also, also like Chinese language, you have more work opportunities. So they get some idea, what are all the comes or what they're gonna do better if they learn this language. Also, they will learn some Chinese history, custom festivals, geography, arts, philosophy, Chinese games, and more others. For the past year, Chinese class was participate like a Chinese Alaska Day show and the parade. They carry the Chinese dragon, like it's a team of 10 people to play long dragon. And this year, on the Alaska Day show, they're Chinese drummer drums. And also we celebrate a Chinese moon festival. The classes were making some Chinese moon cakes and celebrate in the class. We celebrate Chinese New Year this March with the whole school. We had a big event organized in the team. For Chinese New Year, we make some dumplings in the class. Do multiple activities for like observe this biggest event in China. Besides this, I told Taiji Fan is kind of martial arts fan dance, and students enjoyed it. Also, we do some Chinese calligraphy, poetry. I shape some philosophy, like it's China philosophy, meditation. They learn about Chinese opera, face painting, Chinese paper cards, some Chinese games. They're encouraged to talk, using Chinese to talk to the Chinese exchange students. Also, in every April, they have a chance to participate in the time of the show in Anchorage. They also have an opportunity to participate in the big event called Chinese Bridge Summer Camp in San Francisco during the summertime. So that's what I'm doing, and if you have any suggestions and questions, please let me know.
So that kind of gives you a good idea of what's happening in our liberal arts So, like I said, we're at the start now of the curriculum process. So if you have any input or any questions, we will use that as part of the next part of our process in kind of revising our curriculum.
This is Chair Fields. I was curious, are there any other opportunities for languages, you know, like online courses or anything else, or is your emphasis, which is a great emphasis on the Pacific Rim, but are there any other options?
Good morning. This is Bernie Gurley. I'm the academic principal, and I'll field that question. And that's a very good question, because sometimes students come to us with a foreign language already, and maybe a Spanish one, and then that's when we would offer a correspondence if they were in pursuit of two college credits in the same language, which is required in most colleges now. So to answer that question, we had Spanish in our curriculum a few years ago, but we had to cut that due to staffing issues.
And it is something I think interesting for us to recognize is that for a long standing time, the Mount Edgecombe has had at board, through board recommendation, a focus on Pacific Rim. So that just to give some context there, and I think that is why it has kind of a long standing focus with the Japanese and Chinese language.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Raphael, this is Rebecca.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just would like a little bit more clarification on what does the review process actually look like. So this has been a wonderful overview, and I was able to attend the Thanksgiving dinner and thoroughly enjoyed the entertainment the students provided. It was fantastic, great talent. So what are your steps in the review? What's your outcome and what's your timeline?
Right. So we are working with our advisory board and a group right now to potentially revise a little bit of our system. But our current system that's part of the approved process goes like this. Year one is foundational research and a presentation to you, and so that's what this is for these guys. This is the year that they review their current state of their curriculum, and they explore what's out there and what's new. Then year two would be a year of development and program development and finding resources. Then year three would be looking at sample textbooks, identifying special equipment. Then year four would be an implementation with pilot materials. Year five would be implementation and monitoring. And year six then would be another evaluation, and it would start over again. One of the reasons why we're reviewing that is you need a whole curriculum department to manage that. So I think where we're going, what we want to revise is to get to maybe a kind of a 3-year, so year one would be reviewing our curriculum, presenting at state, getting feedback from the two boards, advisory board, state board. Year two would be mapping and producing a year-long map, so we have units and major things, and then presenting that back to the boards for what would be an adoption process. And then year three would be implementing and fleshing out more detailed maps. And then year four, five, and six is just, okay, we hit somebody else's turn and we're actually implementing with some precision.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
And this is Member Harmon. Quick question, and again, really appreciate it. Again, you folks are doing a great job. Appreciate you involving us in this process. question for you. Have you had a chance to, and again, I know you're doing this within yourselves, but have you had a chance to look at other either districts or schools or organizations that you think are, you know, top-notch, top quality related to the liberal arts, of maybe to give you folks ideas of where you'd like to go, or are you just trying to keep this more of an internal focus? I'm just wondering if there are other resources out there that you've explored that have been helpful, and if so, what they are.
This is Stephen Courtwright, music teacher. The music teachers in Southeast Alaska have a really tight bond, and we talk very frequently, and I know the art teachers work together pretty well as well. One of the peculiarities of Mount Edgecombe High School is that we're very peculiar. So it's great to work with the others and see what they're doing, and I've been able to learn a ton from my colleagues, but there are not very many schools out there quite like what we do. So it's really hard to find good models that will work here the same as they do elsewhere. Just as a quick for instance, in the Sitka School District, students start band in fifth grade after having 4 years of music before that. So by the time they get to high school, the Sitka students have had 4 years on their instruments. And
right.
if we try to start a band program here, they won't have 4 years on their instruments before they graduate.
Okay. No, and that makes sense. But it sounds like, I guess I'm very happy to hear you do have that collaboration amongst the teachers in the other districts. Because, again, I think, you know, great schools and great ideas and great educators feed off of each other to make great products. And, of course, Mount Edgecombe is most certainly a leader with the education. But I am glad to hear that you do have those relationships and would continue to encourage you folks to foster those.
Great. So if I can jump into, this is Janelle again, I couldn't agree with you more. And so one of the things as we're looking at our overall process, it's so cumbersome now that sometimes we don't get enough time to do a simple thing like that, and that is, you know, to get a hold of some other schools, look at their curriculum. So one of our goals in looking at the process itself is how can we get rid of maybe some of the formality that's written in our process that's not as necessary, so we can spend more time on just getting a really nice, solid, year-long map that is well-informed, not only on our own experience, but what's out there, as well as learning from other districts. So I really appreciate that comment, and hopefully we can get there.
Yeah, and I think you can. You know, as with everything, you know, we have, and I'm in education myself. I teach at a high school in Anchorage and was a former principal. But, you know, you have so much on your plate, and it's hard to do everything. But you're right, the relationships are key, and I'm glad to hear you're focusing on that. And, you know, you have to do the process, too. But, again, we're here to support you, and whatever support you may need, you know, just come to the board, and then maybe something, if the department can't provide, you know, maybe we can connect you to the right folks. So, again, great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Mr. Gurley again, academic principal. I just wanted to publicly and recognize also that the teachers from the liberal arts that are sitting at this table especially do a wonderful job of going out to the community. You know, we are a community within ourselves, but they give a lot of their time and effort to be involved in activities that take place in the Sitka community, and it's very much appreciated by the community, and it's very much appreciated by this administration.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I'm just going to see if there are board members that have any other comments or questions this time. Not hearing any. Well, thank you for your presentation. Yeah, it was very well done, and you definitely give the students there rich opportunities and all sorts of different things. So thank you, and keep moving forward with it.
Thank you very much. Yep. Thank you.
Have a good rest of your day. Moving on to the standing reports. I don't really have a good way to. We can go report by report, unless somebody thinks we can just do them all at the same time. And if you have questions, but I think just report by report. So the first one, 10A, is student learning report. Any questions, comments with that report or additions?
This is Rebecca. If you could just give me a second, I need to look at my notes.
Okay. And, you know, if there's any of the directors or coordinators in the room, if you have additions or anything, you go ahead and speak up if there are.
Okay, so I might have lost track, James. Are we on?
We're back down to the, because we had to jump up to Mount Edgecombe, and now we're back down to the standing report. And I just named off student learning because it's the first one.
Agenda item 10, if that's helpful for you, Member Hemshire.
Yeah.
And this is Member Harmon. I'll just say I think it was a very good report. I don't have any comments or questions, and I know other folks are probably looking at their notes, but I always appreciate these reports. So, thank you to Paul for putting that together for us.
Yeah, I was just waiting to make sure Rebecca could get to her notes.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. I don't know what happened, but I got dropped, so.
Oh.
I'm back.
Okay. Well, we were just waiting. If you have your notes on the student learning report, go ahead if you have anything.
Yeah, I just, one quick question. I wanted to understand more about the Area Health Education Center. It's on the third page of the report. What is that? The one that will be installed at CIRC. We'll provide coordinated efforts to promote health-related programs for secondary and post-secondary students in Southeast Alaska. Could I just get a little more detail?
Yeah, this is Paul Pressing, the director of student learning, and I have, you know, one of the things I just learned is that you always have the experts with you, and join me at the table to answer those questions, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, this is Deb Riddle, and I have with me Bjorn Wilcher. That AHEC project is, it's kind of expanding a project that's going on in Anchorage to help offer some CTE academies down in Southeast Alaska, along with in the healthcare field. That's the best. And they're just starting getting that organized. We went to an organizational meeting a couple months ago to listen to what the project is and to try to outline some goals of what it would look like down in the Southeast area.
I'll just flesh the depth answer out a little bit. So right now the state Perkins program is supporting the statewide AHEC board through a competitive grant that's offering mental health first aid training to high school students, and so my understanding is that the development of a Southeast AHEC group is a natural extension of the regional AHECs that are in existence around the state, but just pushing down into the Southeast here.
That sounds fantastic. I'm glad to hear about it. Thank you.
Paul Preston, are there any other questions?
I don't hear any, Paul. Thank you for your report. We'll move on to the next report. Next report is Educator and School Excellence.
And Chair Phil, this is Member Harmon. I have two questions, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Yep, and just so the other board members know, I'm not going to ask questions on every single report. I have this one, and then I think my next one's legislative. But And this would be for Bob, for you. I see you reported that the e-learning program membership is an all-time high, and I think that's wonderful. I guess my first question for you is, you know, why do you think that is, and do you think that trend is going to continue? And then the second question I have relates to Advanced Ed. I know it's what our school is accredited with, and they have the new Elliots and stuff. And I don't know if you're planning in the future to share with the board how Advanced Ed works and what they're doing with the continuous improvement with the Elliots. But I've found it very fascinating and very useful for the improvement of a school. And I guess it's more of a comment. I think that it would benefit the board at some point in time to share a little bit more about that organization, how they work with the Department of Education and the schools around the state. So with that, I'll let you either make a comment on that and answer the question I had related to your thoughts on the e-learning program.
Hi, this is Todd Brosis from the Department of Education, and I oversee the e-learning program. The e-learning program, I think, has expanded exponentially for a number of reasons. Primarily, there's been a new requirement for teacher certification that requires everyone who holds an Alaska teaching certificate to complete training in suicide prevention, in drug and alcohol-related disabilities, in child abuse, sexual abuse awareness and prevention, and dating violence awareness and prevention. So that core certificate requirement has increased the enrollment and the usage. And above and beyond that, we're just seeing that districts are repeatedly reaching out to us seeking requests for assistance in complying with the 13 required trainings. And our e-learning system is a really cost-effective, easy way for them to comply with those mandates.
Thank you. And then with the Advanced Ed, and Bob, I know Bob's there if he had any thoughts on the Advanced Ed and if we'll be seeing more of that as a board.
Director Williams is in a retirement board meeting, so he's not here right now that I know of. I'm pretty sure.
Well, and that question can wait till January then, Commissioner.
Yeah, and we'll be glad to share more and do a presentation for the board. And I can't, what Todd Brosius and his folks have done with the e-learning platform has been truly remarkable. Other departments utilize it. It's turned out to be a great thing for our state and for our educators.
This is Member Thompson. I echo those remarks, Commissioner. And I remember when it was first being started up, the department had no identified funding for the effort. We knew it was a good idea. Todd and his crew took it on, and I don't know how they cobbled it all together to make it what it is, but it's just gotten better and better and grown. So, I mean, it's truly one of the most helpful things that the department has come up with that's assisted districts and others in meeting the requirements of our education statute.
And this is Paul Preston, the Director of Student Learning, even though I no longer oversee that program. Todd and his team, they've got national recognition on this e-learning modules, and other states have been reaching out to the department here and seeing actually how do we get this going. So not only has it done a great job statewide, nationally, they're gathering and getting attention for this program.
Board Member Harmon, I believe you asked the question about Advanced Ed. Brad Billings has joined us, and if you would repeat your question, I think Brad probably can respond to it.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was a question or a comment. I saw the Advanced Ed mentioned in there. I shared, our school is accredited through Advanced Ed where I work, and they have a new Elliott program out there which helps with the continuous improvement. Again, I think it's a very valuable tool. And, it's my understanding that, schools that wish to be recognized as accredited through Alaska, the Department of Education,
go through the advanced ed process. I just wasn't sure if there were any updates to share to the whole board about that, or if maybe that was a presentation that could be offered so folks really understood what advanced ed accreditation entails. It's probably been a while. I know it's been shared as long as I've been on the board. My familiarity with it is just because I've been through the accreditation process with them and do use their tools. So I didn't know if there were any comments to share from the department's perspective related to advanced ed and where the department may be going with that organization.
So, Member Harmon, this is Brad Billings, Administrator for School Improvement. Advanced Ed has been our designated accrediting organization for many, many years. They are going through a couple of updates. As of about a year ago, they've updated their school performance indicators. And these are what they use when they're on site evaluating and looking at schools. And so that's an update that I think you refer to as the Elliott tool. That's one of the things they use for observing student engagement in the classroom. The second new practice or update that they're implementing is a systems accreditation, which is a district-wide accreditation. So they go in and work with the district offices and then take a sampling of schools, which is different than the traditional model of doing a school-by-school accreditation. So working with the commissioner, we tentatively have them scheduled, the advanced ed state director, Tim Klein, scheduled to come in and present to the school board sometime in spring on that exact process.
Great. Outstanding. Thank you.
Any other quick questions?
This is Rebecca. If I could just ask a couple questions.
Go ahead.
It's on the second page of the report. At the very top under number two, it says there are two of three trauma-related e-learning courses done. Does anybody know what the third, is Todd still there, what's the third course going to be?
And this is Todd Brosius from the department. The third course is simply just going to be kind of an expansion and a conclusion. It'll build on the two trauma courses that are already available, and it'll really just kind of three-dimensionalize what a fully trauma-engaged school would look like in terms of what policies it would have, what training would be delivered, kind of the types of interventions that teachers would use in the classroom day to day. So it's just kind of a summative course, the third in the series.
That's great, thank you. Then I was really interested in the presentation that was done at the, it's the second bullet point in the section below that, the AIDS is toxic stress, social emotional learning and education presentation. Is that recorded? Is there a chance for us to see that?
I don't know if that was recorded. I imagine it was. I'll have to follow up. I'll send you an email.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Alaska, I think, is in a good position to lead the nation in our work on ACEs because we're so affected. So curious what's being said out nationally from Alaska. And then I wanted to, I know Bob's not there, but I really loved having the teacher certification table added to this report, and then also the information about teacher certification mail volume. And I particularly loved having the information about educator recognition. I think it's any time that we can recognize the excellence we have in the state in our teachers, that's worth doing. And this is a great place for people to learn more about that. And I think that's all I had. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Any other comments or questions for this report? Okay, on to 10C federal programs. Any questions, comments on this report? Okay, not hearing any. We'll move on to legislative report, or assessment, sorry, 10D assessment.
Thank you.
Okay, not hearing any. On to legislative and budget. 10E.
Yes, and this is Member Harmon. I have maybe a clarifying question.
Go ahead, and hopefully you get to your signal a little better. It's breaking up, it sounds like.
Okay. The question I have relates to, I saw in the report, I know the governor's budget's coming out, and I think the clarifying question is, because I know, you know, we've talked over the years about the budget and the board's involvement in that, but it sounds like we're not able to see that, or we're not going to see that until where they are now, until after it's released. Is that correct, or is there an opportunity for us to view that before? And again, it's just a clarifying question. I don't want to go into details because it's not appropriate on the call, but I was just wondering, is it related to access?
And this is Commissioner Johnson. I'm going to let Santa answer that question because she's been through the process more than I have, but you're accurate. The board won't see the budget until it's released publicly. But Santa, can you go ahead, please?
Yes. Hi, this is Santa Eford. So, Member Harmon, if you remember, we had some preliminary discussions in an executive session earlier in the fall, and that was kind of our preliminary discussion with the board. But you are correct. The governor's budget is not public knowledge and will not be released until December 15th. So there will not be an opportunity for us to review that with the board. The department actually has not gotten all the final decisions ourselves yet, and we'll not see that until that public release.
Okay. And again, this is Member Harmon, and I appreciate that. I know that how it's worked in the past. I believe Member Hall has raised this issue before, and maybe some of the other board members. But I do know when it comes out, sometimes we get questions. And again, you know, a month lag is, from my perspective, is a long time for some of those to be resolved, other than the fact, you know, we direct people back to the department. But, you know, in our oversight responsibility, you know, again, maybe in the future we'll continue to work on this, but I do believe, you know, the budget is an important part of the board's responsibilities and processes. So that's just a comment, but thank you.
Chair Peel?
Yeah.
This is Member Hull. I'd just like to clarify that I believe that we've actually made progress in this, and I fully understand that the governor needs to announce to the public his budget, and that I don't personally feel that we need to have a heads up before he does that. I've been interested in us having input, and I believe we had that this year in the ability to go into executive session and discuss with the governor's budget director our concerns, the things that we thought should be prioritized. I think we've made significant progress, and kudos to the governor for that. So I just wanted to say that publicly. Thanks.
Chair Fields, this is Santa Eford again.
Yeah.
I just have another comment.
Okay.
The department, when the governor releases his budget, we can put out an email or information to the board highlighting the changes from this year's budget, just summarizing that for the board, and we will be happy to do that.
Okay, great.
And this is Member Harmon. Yeah, thank you, Deputy Commissioner. I think that would be very helpful for me. And again, and I do, you know, I don't want to not appear appreciative, because I really am, and I agree with Member Hall that I think there's been a lot of progress made with the transparency and involvement of the board. You know, I guess I was thinking that there would be a little bit more. I mean, given our input, I thought we'd sort of know the outcome before it was actually released, but I do respect that it is, you know, the governor's budget, and do appreciate it if you could, as soon as it's released, let us know, you know, items that we should be aware of. So thank you very much.
Yes, Member Harmon, again, this is Santa Eford. Like, we will be happy to do that, and then if any board member has a specific question, they can contact either Heidi Tesher about that or myself.
Great. Thank you very much.
Good. Any other legislative and budget questions, comments? Okay, move on to 10F, Mount Edgecombe High School.
This is Rebecca. I had one quick question on page 3 of Edgecombe's report. I just wanted to make sure that, let's see, maybe this is in there. Well, I'll just ask it anyway. The reading and math graph, the growth graph, it says it gives us data for fiscal year 16 and 17, so that means end of school year 16, 17, right?
Correct. So what it is doing is it's giving the amount of growth from fall to spring fiscal year 16 and fall to spring fiscal year 17.
I love having that information. Thank you. And it's really good news, so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Mount Edgecombe High School? Okay, we'll move on to data management, 10G.
And Chair Fields, this is Member Harmon. I just have a quick question.
Okay.
Yep, and Brian, thanks again for this report. I was really excited to see your completed data collection. And I know as a board, it has probably been, I've been on the board now 3 years, it was maybe this past, or maybe 2 years ago, we had talked about substitute teachers who do not possess a valid Alaska teacher's certificate, and you know what that meant as it related to the process. And question for you: if we wanted to get any of these reports, should we just send you an email? Is that the best way to get them, or are they out on the website somewhere where I could find them if I go out and look?
Good morning. This is Brian Laurent, Data Management Supervisor for the department. We are actually still missing a few districts with that data collection and the educator evaluation data collection, but I am a very good person to start with if you have any questions about our data collections or public reporting.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for data management? Not hearing any, move on to 10H, Libraries, Archives, and Museums. Okay, not hearing any questions on that report. On to 10I, Attorney General. Okay, great. Thank you for all the reports, and thank you for all of the reports looking the same. That's nice and clean, and makes for easy reading when they're all pretty much structured the same. So thank you. Commissioner's report.
All right. Thank you. I don't have too much. I think my focus on this board meeting was what we discussed yesterday. With the Alaska Education Challenge, and I hope that our presentation and discussion yesterday gave the board some enthusiasm and excitement about where we are and where we can go. We all recognize there's a lot of work that we still have to do. We are not claiming success yet. What we are saying is that the work so far has gone very well. The leadership the board has provided has been very effective, and the unity and commitment we have from Alaskans across the state give us a lot of confidence that this is going to positively impact the education that students receive in Alaska. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I look forward to communicating it a great deal and then working with our educators and leaders around the state to make sure we're supporting their efforts to improve education. So I appreciate the board and all the time that they've given, especially in the last 2 or 3 months, to the challenge and to supporting the folks at the department that have been working on it, and I hope you share our excitement and enthusiasm, so thank you. I on Tuesday, had the great privilege of to visit a school, and I don't get to be in schools near as much as I'd like, but I got to visit Central Middle School and see some of the coding activities that are going on, and Lieutenant Governor Malott went with me, and we saw some great activities that did not involve computers, but involved coding processes that were really great. So I appreciated Dr. Bishop hosting us at that school and the opportunity to see what coding can mean for students. And I mention that because I also want to, if the board has not noted the activities that are going on around the state, I hope you'll take time to look at the department's Twitter feed. Classrooms across the state are involved in the week of coding that Sam Jordan, the department's education technology coordinator, has led. And I just am so proud of him. He is a great leader in this state. He's much more than a coordinator. And you can see that in the activities that are happening around the state, coordinated activities around a week of coding. And if you haven't engaged in that conversation or in that information, look at our Twitter feed, contact Sam. There's some great resources, I think, even on the department's website and what students are doing. And though not directly part of the AK Ed Challenge, it's certainly in line with the board's direction that they want to modernize the education system, and I think it is good for our students. As always, I want to just say to the board how appreciative I am of the staff at the Department of Education. Everything that goes well is because of the work that they do and the dedication that they have, and I just get to enjoy the success that we have because of their hard work, and I'm just honored to be able to work at the department, and we've gone through a lot of change in the last year and a half. I expect that change will continue to happen at the department, and I look forward to working with the staff there and implementing those changes and doing the work that we've been doing. And then finally, I just want to say to the Board of Education and anybody listening, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I look forward to continuing our work in 2018. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any questions, comments for the Commissioner's report?
This is Rebecca. I'm just going to use the Commissioner's report as an opportunity to point out once again that we don't have computer science standards in Alaska, and I'm the last person on the planet who would try to take that on myself. It's not an area of strength for me, but I recognize that very few states do have computer science standards, and this would be a place for us to lead. And it would be good for kids and good for teachers to have some standards in place for computer science. So I'm just asking to put that on our collective to-do list. Thanks.
I'll respond to that. So I've had the opportunity to attend a couple conferences lately, paid for by folks other than Alaska taxpayers, by the way. But I was in Nashville last week and spent some time with Hadi Parvati, who is the founder of Code.org and someone that's been pushing, and he's a philanthropist supporting the development of computer science standards. So I had an opportunity to be with him and talk with him, and then the president of Code.org, Cameron, and they are working with Sam on that very project to support us, and hopefully they'll be providing us with support and maybe even some resources to develop those standards in Alaska.
Ms. Rebecca, I'm thrilled. Thank you.
Okay, I'm not hearing any other comments, so thank you for your report. And the consent agenda. I need a motion for the consent agenda. Item 14.
This is Member Himshute. I move the State Board of Education and Early Development approve the consent agenda consisting of approval of the minutes of the September 14 and 15, 2017 meeting, minutes of the October 5th, 2017 and November 2nd, 2017 work sessions, the Alaska's Education Challenge report, and the draft report to the legislature.
Member Hamilton, second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, hearing no discussion, roll call, please.
Member Gallagher?
Yes.
Dr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Secretary Harmon?
Yes.
Member Hamilton?
Yes.
First Vice Chair Hull?
Yes.
Member Michael?
Yes.
Member Thompson?
Yes.
Lieutenant Colonel Van Meter?
Yes.
Chair Field?
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote? Hearing no changes?
The motion is passed.
Okay, thank you. And then last here is board comments, and I will just allow it, just open it up, so if you have board comments, go ahead and speak up, say your name, and go ahead. If not, you can just remain silent.
This is Member Hull. I just like to make mine first because I have to get to something else. Thank you to everybody that participated in this audio conference. It's just so hard to do this work on audio conference, but I appreciate everybody pitching in and the packet that the department puts together that is thorough. And I wanted to comment after the commissioner's report. I'm so grateful to the commissioner for his leadership. The staff in the department is doing great work, and I know that's a function of his leadership. And we have gone through change, but I'm encouraged by all that I hear from education stakeholders, both folks within the system and outside the system, and their confidence in our ability to accomplish the Alaska Education Challenge. So thank you to everybody involved with that effort and to the board for their, I think, consistent record of coming together in support of the right kinds of things for kids. And I just wish you all a Merry Christmas. It was great to be online. Thanks very much.
And this is Member Harmon. I'll echo what Member Hall said. Again, thank you to everyone involved in education and for the hard work this past year. It's a time of peace and goodwill. So, again, I would wish that to everyone, as well as a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you.
Member Hamilton, also thank you. Merry Christmas. I am grateful for the commissioner today. I know that he has had a very strenuous travel season all over the state. And I'm glad he had a few days off with his family, but as I cornered him and asked him how many days he's actually been home in his bed over the last couple of months, I could probably count on both hands. So I just want to say thank you in front of the board and all those who are listening in that our commissioner is very dedicated to his job, and I hope that the next beginning of the next months can be a much lesser travel schedule. So his wife and kids can take his picture off the mantle.
This is Member Thompson. I've been sitting here for the last 2 days and have seen a lot of staff, department staff, coming in and out, and there are several of them here. They do a wonderful job, as you've all commented, and I just want to thank you all for the work that you do on behalf of the board, those of you sitting here and those who are upstairs working hard. It is the holidays. Happy holidays to everybody. And Commissioner, I hope you are going to be somewhere for the holidays other than on the road. And I look forward to seeing all of you in January. Thank you.
This is Member Gallagher.
Oh, go, Ken.
I just want to say thank you to everybody. Deej, you guys are doing awesome as always. And happy holidays to everybody. I hope everyone has a peaceful, happy holiday. And thank you.
This is Rebecca. I just, everything everybody said, I agree 100%. I know we're somewhat past what we call Thanksgiving, but I think gratitude is year-round, and I just feel so much gratitude to the other board members, but especially to the commissioner and to the department for their hard work. So happy holidays, everyone.
Ms. Lieutenant,
this is my member.
I'd also just like to thank the staff for getting out the packets in such a timely manner and for all their professionalism. And just another warm welcome to Tanis. Congratulations on her appointment. And with that, a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to everyone.
This is Member Michael. I'd like to thank all department staff and the commissioner for their amazing reports. Also, I'd like to thank all the people who applied for the speeder position. Any of them would be good representatives. Congratulations to Tana for taking the initiative and getting the job, and happy holidays. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's everybody except me, and then I'll let the commissioner say a final word before I adjourn. Just want to tell everybody thank you, and again, yeah, these teleconferences are difficult, but they go rather smoothly. So just thanks for all the work, all the back work that the department puts in for the reports and public comment and all that stuff. I'll say one thing. The amount of public comment since I started on my tenure on the board is substantially less, which I think that goes to some of what Sue's talking about in the way of just the proper leadership, the proper approach with districts and the district leadership, and just the public in general just trying to be as forthright and transparent as we can. I think that helps people feel better about our process and who we are. So just thank you for that transition that's taken place over the last year and a half, 2 years, and just thank you for all the hard work everybody's put in, and have a Merry Christmas. And Commissioner, I think you had one last thing you wanted to say.
I just want to thank the board for all the kind comments on behalf of the staff and myself. Thank you very much. I can reassure the board, my family, and the staff of the department take very good care of me, so I'm not suffering at all. I love this job, and it's going very well. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. And with that, I will move to adjourn without objection. Hearing any objection? And hearing none, we will adjourn at 11:18. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Mel.
Happy holidays.
Your host is exiting the conference.